Good morning. Our parsha, Parshas Korach, has the very famous encounter between Korach and Moshe Rabbeinu. Korach launched a campaign to try and minimize the power of the leadership, claiming that Kol Ha'eda Kulam Kedoshim, the entire nation is holy. Everyone saw the incredible sights and the incredible miracles and experiences that you had. Umadua Tisnasu Al Kahal Hashem. Why is it that you, Moshe and Aaron, are entitled to lead the people? The Psukim then describe the downfall of Korach and the incredibly miraculous events that took place with his downfall. Later in the Parsha, the Torah reiterates the jobs that the family of Aaron were meant to do in the Mishkan. And this is to once again display that although Korach attempted to destroy the notion of hierarchy, we as a people firmly believe that there is supposed to be a hierarchy. There are Kohanim, Levim, and Yisraelim. There are supposed to be leaders, and there are supposed to be followers. And that is why, right at the conclusion of the story of Korach, the detailed jobs of the Kohanim are repeated once again in the Torah. In the final section of the Parsha, we are told about the gifts that one must give to a Kohen or a Levi from his produce. There is a mitzvah called Hafrashos Trumos Umaisrus, and there are specific amounts of tithes that we must give to the Kohanim and Levim. This too is specifically placed at the very end of our parsha to once again solidify the institution of Kohanim and Levim and to impress upon us the importance of having different groups and different leaders whom we can respect and learn from. In outlining the mitzvah of Hafrashos Trumos Umaisrus, the Torah tells us, V'nechshav lachem trumaschem, kedagan min hagoren, v'chimleya min hayekev. Your truma should be considered for you like the grain from the threshing floor and like the ripened grapes from the vat. Simply understood to mean that one is only able to separate truma after the grains have finished being harvested and only once they have reached the threshing floor. Similarly, one is only able to separate truma from his grapes once they have been processed and are ready to be sold commercially. This is obviously the simple pshat in the pasuk, and the most basic understanding of the words. But there is an insight in this pasuk which is more of a Musar-based idea, and that is what we will focus on this morning. And in order to fully appreciate this beautiful insight, we will first offer a little bit of background. In Parshas Kisavo, we read the Parsha of the Tochacha. And when we come across such a devastating Parsha, we try our best to focus on each and every word and understand the relevance that it has to us in a tangible way. So right before the horrific Tochacha begins, we have a pasuk which reads as follows, Ubo elecha kol habrachos vihisigucha, and all of the blessings will come upon you, and they will overtake you. This word vihisigucha is a word which many mefarshim attempt to explain. After all, the pasuk already says, Ubo elecha kol habrachos, that all of the brachos will come to you. So what is added with this extra word, vihisi gucha? The Sfarno over there on Parshas Kisavo explains that this word, vihisi gucha, means that not only will you have blessings, but you will also be completely overwhelmed by the showering of blessings from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Even if you are not trying to attain the bounty, it will be granted to you anyway. However, Reb Tzadik HaKohen Milublin quotes an insight of Reb Simcha Bunami Pshischa that in fact the blessings in this pasuk speak to an incredibly difficult challenge that many of us have, and that is a challenge of overwhelming personal success and prosperity. How often do we see people who receive a bonus or an upgrade at work and their entire personalities suddenly go through a drastic change? They become removed and are sometimes apathetic to their previous acquaintances. They no longer speak to their friends that they used to speak with. They feel that it is beneath their dignity to personally meet with people anymore. They have secretaries who screen all of their phone calls and visitors. They come home and they have expectations that are unfair and unrealistic of their own family members and friends. They feel that they should not be helping around the house or talking respectfully to their spouses and their children. And as an outsider, this is almost comical to watch, because we, the people who knew these individuals beforehand, know quite well that in reality, nothing about them has really changed. Yes, they may have received a prestigious title or a fancy office. They may have been successful with a particular investment. But internally, there has been absolutely no change in them at all. Their prestige, their prominence, and their dignity has simply gotten to their heads. Their money has made them feel that they must act differently towards others, and their achievements have completely blinded them from their own reality. They have become so enraptured with themselves that they can't even see how foolish they look to those around them. And this, suggests Reb Simcha Bunim, is this great blessing in Parshas Kisavo. Ubo elecha kol habrachos. Yes, you will be showered with blessing and with great prosperity. You will be fortunate enough to live a lifestyle of plenty and of overabundance. But even greater than that is the next blessing of vihisi gucha. The abundance will catch up to you. It will be masig you. It will understand who you really are. And it will fit itself into your lifestyle that you have been living up until now. It will allow you to remain the very same person who you were before you had it. And it will not make you delusional and blinded to act in ways that you are really not meant to act. This is an incredibly powerful blessing, and it is one which is so important to appreciate and take advantage of when living a prestigious or affluent lifestyle. We are told in Parshas Miketz that Yosef HaTzadik devised a plan that would sustain the land of Mitzrayim through the 7 years of famine. And the Pasuk tells us, V'Yosef hu ha-shalit al ha-aretz, hu ha-mashbir l'chol am ha-aretz. Yosef, on the one hand, was the viceroy over the land of Mitzrayim, but at the same time, this very same Yosef, the very same minister, was also providing the citizens with food and with land to develop. Rabbi Moshe Leib Sasever comments that this showed the incredible greatness of Yosef HaTzadik. Yes, he rose to become the superpower of the most important country of the time. Yes, he was young and somehow managed to succeed in ways which so many others who were more experienced than him could not. But his greatest attribute was his ability to remain the good-hearted, loving, caring, and sensitive person that he had always been. He may have been the deputy, but he himself made sure to be in charge of providing land to the citizens of Mitzrayim as well. He did not choose to hand over this lowly task to other servants. He did it himself because he cared deeply about people and he was most sensitive to their needs. Yosef hu ha-shalit hu ha-mashbir. In Parshas Va'aloscha we are told about the mitzvah of Halakas HaMenorah. And the Pasuk tells us, Vayas kein Aharon el mul p'nei HaMenorah he'ela neroseha kasher tziva Hashem es Moshe. Aharon did exactly what he was instructed to do by the great leader Moshe Rabbeinu. Rashi famously comments from the Sifri, Melamed Shivcho shel Aharon Sheloshina. This highlights in this pasuk the greatness of Aharon HaKohen, that he did not change one iota. He did everything exactly the way he was instructed to do by his brother Moshe. But perhaps an added appreciation into the greatness of Aharon HaKohen was that although at this point he had just been designated as the highest ranking officer in the Beis HaMikdash, although his day was entrenched in heavenly matters, tending to the needs of this sacred Makom Kadosh, Aharon still made sure that the status that he was granted would not change him at all. Melamed Shivcho Shel Aharon Sheloshina. The greatest praise of Aharon was that he remained the same Aharon who is the quintessential Ohev Shalom Verodev Shalom. He continued to meet with people and settle their disagreements, and he did not feel that any level of communal involvement was beneath his dignity. Shivcha Shel Aharon was Sheloshina, that he did not change. In Parshas Toldos, Yitzchak Avinu experiences a difficult encounter with Avimelech Melech Plishtim, and after leaving Eretz Plishtim unscathed, we are told that everything Yitzchak touched seemed to turn into gold. He dug wells and they prospered. He planted fields and they gave off incredible quantities of produce. And Yitzchak slowly became the most prominent individual in all of Eretz Plishtim. The very next pasuk writes, "Vayigdal ha'ish Vayelech haloch v'gadel ad ki gadel me'od. The man grew and he prospered until his success was almost abounding. The Shem Yishmur comments that this is the only place throughout all the places in which the Torah speaks about Yitzchak Avinu that he is referred to simply as Ha'ish, the man. The Torah does not call him by his regular name Yitzchak, but simply by the title Ha'ish. Explains the Shem Yishmur, because the greatest virtue of Yitzchak was that even after he amassed all of his wealth and became the most prominent person in all of Eretz Plishtim, he still continued to treat himself as a simple ish, as nothing but an average and ordinary citizen who was living life like the rest of his friends and neighbors. He did not walk around introducing himself as Yitzchak Avinu, but rather as the simple, primitive, and unadorned man, nothing more than a simple ish. And that is true greatness. For a person to reach a position in which there is such strong tendency to change his or her attitude and behavior toward others, for a person to be promoted as a president, a board member, a chazan, a gabbai, or a rabbi, and yet the individual makes a conscious effort to remain the same simple individual as they were before, this is what makes someone great. And this is what makes someone stand out. This is what separated Yitzchak from the others. This is what later made Yosef meritorious, and this is the very same way that Aaron HaKohen conducted himself throughout his life. Milamed she'Aaron HaKohen lo shina. Aaron managed to remain the very same caring, compassionate, sympathetic, and merciful person that he always was, even after being granted the prestigious titles and positions. So now we return to our Parsha, Parshas Korach. And our Parsha speaks about Hafrashas Trumas and Maisras. So with all of this in mind, we have a new appreciation into the Pasuk that we began with. V'nechshav lachem trumaschem, kedagan min hagoren, v'chimleya min hayekev. When one gets an upgrade or promotion in his own personal life, a truma, as we will refer to it, lachem trumaschem, it should be considered to him like the grain on the threshing floor, or like the grapes from the harvest. The very same way that the few stalks of grain or the small clusters of grapes that are chosen as truma for the kohen do not harbor any feelings of conceit or contempt toward the other grains or the other grapes that will be sold for public consumption, so should be our attitude when we are fortunate enough to be chosen as some form of truma above our peers. Be it a time that we might be chosen for a position of honor or leadership in the communities or at work, be it when we might be singled out to be financially successful, or at a time in which we successfully accomplish a particular task with our talents. Our challenge and our obligation and duty is to remain the very same personalities that we would have otherwise been. To keep our very same standards of sensitivities and our deep feelings of love and compassion for others that we previously had before our experiences of becoming truma. I have a friend who unfortunately had cancer and was undergoing a very intense chemotherapy. And this friend shared an incredible story about my father, the very well-known and highly regarded Rosh Yeshiva and Rosh Kollel at YU. And the story goes like this. Rav Shechter decided one day to visit my friend in the hospital. Being that it was still in the beginning stages of his horrific illness, my friend was not yet accustomed to swallowing the pills that were an important part of his recovery. So the nurse was sitting on his bed with a bag of peanuts, teaching him how to swallow his pills. Just then, my father entered the room to visit, and my friend was visibly embarrassed that his Rosh Yeshiva, Rav Shechter, had come in at a time when he was playing swallowing games with the hospital nurse. Without skipping a beat, my father said, "I am over 60, and I still have not figured out how to swallow a simple Tylenol or Advil. Would either of you mind if I joined your group and did the same practice swallowing with these peanuts as well?" And there are stories like this about every gadol throughout our history, because this is what our great leaders are all about. Yes, they might have amassed incredible amounts of Torah in their lives, Yes, they might be carrying the burden of the Jewish people on their shoulders. Yes, they might have been placed in positions of great authority and responsibility. But what makes them even greater, and what allows them to leave a lasting impact on a generation, is when they make sure to remain the kind-hearted, delicate, friendly, sympathetic, and affectionate people that they always were. The ones who teach us that no matter how busy a person might be, regardless of how much you might have on your plate, there is always room and there is always time to reach out to someone who needs our time. There is always an opportunity to make someone smile and to make them feel good about themselves. And there is always a behavior and a standard that needs to be kept to. Strip away all of your titles, all of your fortunes, and just take a few minutes to think about other people and how much they may actually gain from just a few minutes of your caring and sensitivity. This is an idea and a message we can all learn from the Parsha of Hafrashas Trumas Umaisras. Moshe and Aaron never allowed their positions to change their modes of behavior. They never used their power to trample on the people. And perhaps this is why this pasuk of V'nechshav Lachem Trumaschem is found at the very end of our parsha. Because in fact, it is a response to the complaint of Korach. We all have our own moments of Truma. We all have our personal experiences of glory and feeling important. And it is imperative that at these particular moments and throughout these experiences, that we continue to remain the very same sensitive and caring people that we always were. May this week bring for all of us only Besuros Tovos, Yeshuas, and Nachamos. I wish everyone a wonderful Shabbos.